Chapter 1. The Brahmana meets Gop Kumar. The Brihat Bhagavatamrita contains many fine topics concerning bhakti. By hearing them with great attention and interest, certainly a sublime type of greed will arise. And that greed will move us in the direction of Braj. For any sadhak who desires Raganuga Bhakti, the Brihat Bhagavatamrita is very useful. How can we enter into Bhagavat Bhakti, and what is the nature of Bhagavat Bhakti? This book describes both of these topics completely. After the Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken in 7 days, the mother of Parikshit Maharaj, Uttara, said to her son, "Because what Shukadev Goswami explained was so philosophical and full of Siddhanta, I was not able to experience it in my heart due to being a woman. Therefore, you please explain the essence of it in a simple fashion, in a few words only, so that I may understand it well." Then Parikshit Maharaj described how Narad, from his own experience, showed the glories of Bhagavan by revealing the glories of his Dharma and the glories of his eternal associates. Narad, by going to different holy places and different worlds, achieved Bhagavat Tattva, knowledge of Bhagavan. And he experienced how Bhagavan is one yet expands into many. Similarly, the Dharma is one, with Vrindavan as the original Dharma, and it expands into many. And the original associates of Bhagavan are those of Vrindavan, and they are likewise expanded into many different worlds. This is the Siddhanta. The one is expanded into many. Bhagavan is not 2, 3, 10, or 20. Narad is the crown jewel of those who know this tattva, and he is rasik, expert in relishing rasa. So pretending that he didn't know any of this, Narad began his journey. First he met a brahmana, worshipping his shalagram shila. He said to the brahmana, "In this world you are surely fortunate." Beginning from there, he ultimately arrived at Dwarka, where he realized the gopis to be the topmost devotees. The gopis of Vrindavan are categorically higher than those great souls who are situated in all the other rasas, and even higher than the queens of Dwarka. And amongst all the gopis, Srimati Radhika is the best. Aradhanam sarvesham Vishnu aradhanam param Tasmat parataram devi tadiyanam smarachanam. Padma Purana. Mahadevi told Durga Devi, "Of all the varieties of worship, worship of Vishnu is the best. But even better than that is the worship of those devotees related to him." In this verse, the word tadiyanam means those who have a relationship with Bhagavan. There are so many who are related to him, but amongst them, Srimati Radhika is the best. Hearing all of this, Narad became overwhelmed with prema, especially in the pastime of constructing Nava Vrindavan in Dwarka. He was shown the glories of the gopis. Seeing how Krishna was overwhelmed by separation from the gopis, Satyabhama, Rukmini, Jambavati, and all others became astonished. Narad was very pleased, but then he began to feel ashamed, thinking, "By coming here today and making Krishna remember the gopis, I have given him some pain and made him fall unconscious." Krishna said, "You may ask any boon from me." Narad replied, "Ask for a boon? I have committed a great offense at your feet. I have given you so much trouble and made you fall unconscious." Krishna said, "If you had not done this, then the glories of my eternal associates in Braj would never be broadcast, Therefore you are worthy of taking a boon from me. Tell me, what would you like? So Narad replied, Prabhu, I want to always remember your pastimes with the gopis in Vrindavan. Wherever these pastimes are being performed, I want to go to that place and take the dust on my head. I want to always sing the kirtan of those pastimes, and if you would be so merciful, please give me the prem of the gopis. Krishna replied, So it shall be. Going to the places of my pastimes in Braj, especially Nandagram, Varshana, Govardhan, Yavat, Terkadamba, Uddhav Kyeri, Vamshivat, and Radhakund, with great love you should offer pranam and pray for their mercy. Then you will easily obtain that rare prem which even Brahma desires. According to the gradation of his associates, there is gradation in Bhagavan. There are so many different types of devotees, different types of pastimes, and different types of rasa. For the four Kumaras, Krishna appears as Brahma. For Hanuman, the same Krishna appears as Ramchandra Prabhu. For Vishvakshena and the devotees of Vaikuntha, he is Narayan. And for Satyabhama, Rukmini, and Uddhav, he is Dwarkadish. To the Gopas, he is a friend. To those in Vatsalya Ras, he is a son. And to the Gopis, he is the dearest lover. All are one and the same Krishna. How is it possible to comprehend all of this? Only by the mercy of Bhagavan and his devotees will we be able to fully understand this. Without their mercy, it is not possible. By relating the story of Gop Kumar, Parikshit Maharaj explained to his mother in a very simple and charming way how we can attain prem. If anyone desires prem but performs no shravan and kirtan, or thinks he will attain it merely by his own endeavor, he will never get it. Without service to the Guru and service to the Vaishnavas, then even after thousands of births, or even after reading thousands of scriptures, one will still not be able to attain prem. Only by following the prescribed sadhan is it possible. It has been said that if we neglect the regulations of the Shruti, Smriti, and Narad Pancharatra, we will not attain exclusive bhakti, but only become confused. Therefore, we must follow the rules and regulations. What are they? We must accept diksha, or initiation, offer intimate service to the Guru, and accept instruction from him. We must simply serve the Guru and Vaishnavas, and keep arrogance far away by cultivating humility and not thinking highly of ourselves. Trinadapi Sunichena, Tarorapi Sahishuna, Amanina Manadena Kirtanya Sadahari. Sri Shikshastika 3. One should take Harinam in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself to be more insignificant than a piece of straw. One should be more tolerant than a tree, free from false pride, and ready to offer all respect to others. The more we can follow this, then by the mercy of Bhagavan and by the mercy of Vaishnavas, which is the very essence of the mercy of Bhagavan, the sooner bhakti will appear in our hearts. If Bhagavan bestows his mercy on someone, then he will attain bhakti. He has that power. But why does he give his mercy to some persons and not to others? In this world, most people don't engage in Bhagavat Bhajan, and to them he will not give his mercy. Then very few people will get his mercy. Why is this so? Because he doesn't consider everyone to be equal. If mercy is shown to some and not to others, it appears that the fault of partiality is present. If a devotee makes distinctions in regard to whom he is merciful, then it seems that the fault of partiality has appeared in his devotion. To give much love to one person, less to another, to give much instruction to one and less to another, to tell deep things to one and only superficial things to another. In this behavior, it seems that there is the fault of partiality. But there are three types of Vaishnavas: Uttam, Madhyam, and Kanishta. An Uttam Vaishnava has almost all the good qualities of Bhagavan. They don't experience the sufferings of ordinary people. They are Atmaram, self-satisfied, and Aptakam, devoid of mundane desires. Even if some allurement comes before them, they are never disturbed, and are always fixed in internal worship. They will not show kindness to anyone either, and even if someone dies, they may remain indifferent. They are transcendental to the body and full of Atmagyan. The Kanishta Vaishnava does not have sufficient knowledge of tattva and is therefore unable to give mercy. And there are four symptoms of a Madhyam Vaishnava: Ishvare tad adineshu, balisheshu dvivatsatshu cha, prema maitri kripo peksha, ya karoti samadhyamaha. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.46. For Bhagavan, he has prem, and towards Vaishnavas, he has three types of friendly relations. Towards an Uttam Vaishnava, he has a service attitude. With those on an equal footing to himself, he will establish friendship. And towards a Kanishta Vaishnava, he is merciful. He is completely indifferent to envious people and to those who are ignorant but have a little faith. In a general way, he is merciful. In a Madhyam Adhikari, there are these four types of partiality. But in an Uttam Adhikari, there is no such partiality. He has the same outlook towards everyone. He doesn't see the difference between a conditioned soul and a liberated soul. He sees that everyone is liberated. Therefore, he has no duty. But it is the duty of the Madhyam Vaishnav to have this partiality. Therefore, who will give the mercy by which bhakti will arise? The Madhyam Vaishnava, and especially those that are higher Madhyam Vaishnavas, they will give this mercy. One who is entering the realm of an Uttam Vaishnava, who is not there yet but is qualified to cross the upper limit of the Madhyam stage, is especially kind and merciful. He wants to distribute to others the wealth which he has stored inside his own heart. When he distributes mercy, the fault of partiality cannot be attributed to him, because according to the Bhagavatam, it is actually a symptom of this stage to be partial. If we acquire the association of such a Vaishnava, then we should serve him with our life and soul. Shushrusaya bhajan vigyanam ananyam anya nindadi shunya hridam ipsita sanga labdaya. Upadeshamrita 5. We should serve a Vaishnava who is advanced in bhakti and whose heart is free from the tendency to criticize others. If we achieve the association of such a Vaishnava, then it is necessary for us to offer our head bowed to him in surrender. If there is any cheating tendency in our service, he will know of it. Just like Bhagavan, he can see inside us, and he knows well people's cheating ways. He may dispense punishment to us, but in that there will also be mercy. Or upon perceiving our cheating, he may be indifferent towards us. So in a straightforward manner, we should serve him. There are also two types of mercy from Vaishnavas. One is mercy acquired in previous lives, and the other is mercy acquired in this life. The accumulated pious merit from perhaps millions of lifetimes may result in one's receiving mercy from Vaishnavas who are rasik, merciful by nature, and knowledgeable in tattva, thereby leading one to take initiation from a genuine guru and make progress on the path of bhajan. This is called praktana samskar, that which has been acquired in previous births. Having such previous acquisition, in some very rare cases, there may even be no necessity of formally accepting a guru. For instance, Haridas Thakur and so many of the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were already fully developed in bhakti, and for them there was no necessity of taking formal initiation. But still, they accepted it just to set an example for common people. There is also the case of Bharat Maharaj. In his first birth, he had a guru, but in his second and third births, he did not formally accept a guru. Yet still, without effort, he attained bhav. He didn't listen to his father or anyone who tried to dissuade him from the path of bhakti. This is praktana sanskar, having which one will easily acquire a high guru, attain sadhu sangha, and very quickly feel devotional sentiment arise within him. Maybe only one verse of Shastra will be recited to him, and from that day he will understand everything. Those who have this previous merit will have some ruchi or taste for devotional service, and will knowingly accept initiation from a rasik Vaishnava. Then intense greed for bhakti will arise in them, and they will make rapid progress in bhajan. As for those who don't have this previous merit, by hearing about the pastimes of Krishna from the Srimad Bhagavatam and by associating with Vaishnavas, greed for bhakti will gradually arise in them. But they may accept a guru whose thought is not in the right line, and so they will have to leave him and approach a genuine spiritual guru whose Siddhanta is correct. Or they may accept a real guru in the first place, and when that guru leaves this world, what must they do? Accept a shiksha guru, a rasik Vaishnava, who is full of spiritual greed. These are the two types of mercy from Vaishnavas. In the Sri Brihat Bhagavatamrita, Gop Kumar explains all these points to a Brahmana from his own life's experience. This Brahmana was a resident of Pragjotyashpur in Assam. Just as we see these days in Gujarat, there are scholars who wander here and there speaking from the scriptures to make their living. So this Brahmana's aim was like that. He was thinking that there was a great deal of money in Assam, and that somehow or other he would be able to make a living there. So he went there, and when he didn't make any money, he worshipped Kamakya Devi, Parvati Devi. She became very pleased with him, and understanding his internal sentiment, thought, "It appears that he has some Sukriti from previous lives. If I give him just a little help, he will be able to go far. But first his desire for money must be eliminated, and then he will be able to go forward." She appeared before the Brahmana and said, "You desire wealth. There is nothing greater than the treasure that I will give you." "What is the greatest treasure?" "Bhakti. If anyone approaches a genuine guru, even if that person is just an ignorant boy or girl and not able to understand much Siddhanta, still such a guru will slowly give them Bhagavat Prem. But an impure guru will say, "Worship Devi, worship Ganesh, worship Shankar," and being pleased with you, they will give you whatever you desire. Kamakya Devi, upon seeing a person's nature, will act accordingly. Seeing that this Brahmana was a resident of Govardhan, she decided that he should not be cheated in any way. Understanding his simple nature, she gave him the Gopal mantra. For entrance into Madhurya Ras, this mantra is especially necessary. By the mercy of Sanatan Goswami and other exalted Vaishnavas, the Gopal mantra is now prevalent in our Sampradaya. Before the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this mantra was not made available to everyone. It was only given to those who were understood to have the special qualification of sufficient merit from previous lifetimes. Devi gave this Brahmana her darshan and bestowed this mantra upon him. Chanting the mantra, his devotion became firm. Chanting more and more, he eventually lost his desire for wealth and felt that he already possessed the very root of all wealth. From Assam, he went to the ocean at Ganga Sagar and bathed, and becoming indifferent to that place, he went to Gaya. Feeling indifferent there, he went to Varanasi, where he became a little attracted to the conception of mukti, or liberation. There, Parvati Devi again blessed him with her darshan. Yet this time, she was accompanied by her husband Shankar, who said, "Beware, don't stay here, go away from here immediately." If they are especially merciful to someone, they will instruct him in this way. Otherwise one would remain there, and shaving his head, would begin chanting, "Aham Brahmasmi, Tattvam Asi, and Sarvam Kaladvim Brahma," aspiring for impersonal liberation. But being merciful to this Brahmana, Mahadev and Parvati told him, "Run away from here quickly, you mustn't stay. Mukti is like a tigress that will devour you, and you will never re-emerge from its mouth. Run from here quickly, and don't turn back. Go straight to Mathura, bathe at Vishram Ghat, and then proceed directly to Vrindavan." On the way, the Brahmana spent some time in Prayag, where he saw a crowd of thousands of people. Seated around a fire, performing a sacrifice, were big renunciants with their hair tied high on their heads and ashes smeared on their bodies. Others were giving lectures and reading and loudly chanting, "Jai Shri Ram, Jai Shri Ram." For the month of Magha, all types of sadhus go there to bathe. The ashram of Bharadvaj Rishi, where Valmiki spent some time, is there. And there also Ramchandra crossed the Ganga. It is a very pure place. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed Rupa Goswami there as well. Seeing all this, the Brahmana thought, "If I could be like this also, it would be very good." The people were giving great respect to all the saints there. He took darshan of the Bindu Madhava deity, attended the arti, and heard lectures. When some devotees started performing a kirtan, he said, "What are you shouting? And what is all this which you are speaking in your discourses?" They said to him, "Brother, don't speak out so brashly like this. It will be aparad. The Mahatmas are describing the glories of Bhagavan Sri Vishnu in their discourses." Again the Brahmana felt indifferent and left there. Following the instructions of Shankar, he eventually arrived at Mathura and bathed in Vishram Ghat. In Varanasi, Shankar had told him, "If you continue chanting your mantra japa, your favorite deity will give you darshan." Who is the deity of the Gopal mantra? Gopal Krishna. And which Gopal Krishna? It is according to the particular sentiment of the devotee. To some, it is the Gopal that takes the cows out for grazing. To some, it is baby Krishna sitting in the lap of Yashoda, and for those in Madhurya Ras, it is Kishore Gopal. For this Brahmana, it was Krishna taking the cows out for grazing, playing the flute, and wandering the forests of Vrindavan in the company of his cowherd friends. If we do not receive the darshan of Krishna in our meditation, while we are chanting our mantra japa, in the higher sense we can understand it all to be useless. When will it be? When will it be? We should have this eagerness. We should chant with our hearts, and then we will see that this mantra will bestow his direct darshan. Otherwise, birth after birth, it will be fruitless. If we are mindless while chanting, or worried, or sometimes falling asleep, or sometimes becoming discouraged, we will not receive the full result of the mantra. When will we get the full result of the mantra? When we chant in precisely the way which Gurudev has taught us, and as Parvati instructed this Brahmana. Chanting with our concentration focused, ridding our hearts of all desires for sense enjoyment, with humility and with tears coming to our eyes in remembrance, this will bring Gopal. We must chant with a steady mind, an exclusive sentiment, and eventually the mantra will give us direct darshan of Sri Krishna himself. Guru goste gostalayeshu sujane busara gane svamantre. Sri Mana Shiksha 1. We should chant with peace of mind, love, and firm faith, and then the mantra will give us darshan of our deity, and also darshan of our guru. After bathing in Vishramghat, the Brahmana entered Vrindavan. Eventually, he arrived at the banks of the Jamuna, and at that time, there was no town or village there. From a kunj, he heard a voice lamenting, and it was also very sweet. He could not discern if it was someone crying, or if it was a kirtan, or even whether it was a man or a woman, but the sound was attracting him. Slowly, he began searching after this voice, until he came to a dense kunj amongst the gardens of Yamuna near Keshighat. Entering the kunj, he saw a very effulgent and attractive Brahmana. It was Gop Kumar, and he was chanting this kirtan in a very sweet melody. Shri Krishna Gopala Hare Mukunda, Govinda He Nanda Kishora Krishna, Ha Shri Yashoda Tanaya Prasida, Shri Bala Vijivana Radhikesha. Brihat Bhagavatam Rita 2:4-7. In his kirtan, he was emphasizing the line, Ha Shri Yashoda Tanaya Prasida. He was shedding tears and saliva was falling from his mouth. Whether he was conscious or unconscious, the Brahmana couldn't tell. Bringing some water from the Yamuna, the Brahmana cleaned Gop Kumar's mouth and fanning him, gradually brought him to his external senses. After a little while, Gop Kumar arose and said, You have come from Assam, from Pragjyotishapur. There, Devi brought you some mantra. The Brahmana did not reply. She gave you the Gopal mantra. From there, via Ganga Sagara and Gaya, you went to Varanasi, and there Shankara and Parvati gave you some instruction, and via Prayag you have come here. The more Gop Kumar said, the more the Brahmana was astonished, and deep faith arose in him towards Gop Kumar, thinking, how did he know this? The Brahmana could only stand motionless and listen, stunned. He was deeply influenced. When we have this kind of experience, the faith that it produces will stay with us for our entire life. When we are fortunate enough to meet such a guru, the effect will be lasting. But upon meeting a bogus guru, we will get a different feeling. The so-called guru will say, My friend, please take Harinam initiation from me. One may reply, No, not now. Perhaps I will take it tomorrow or the next day. But if the so-called guru sees that this man is wealthy and has a nice house and nice possessions, through him we can get some work done. There is some litigation against us, and since he has a post with the government, he can clear it up for us. Then he will say, "No, there is no need to wait. Take it now. Otherwise your mind will become distracted. Just bring a flower garland." And even if one does not want to bring a flower garland, the false guru will say, "All right then, for you there will be no restriction in regard to eating and drinking, such as being vegetarian and abstaining from wine. Whose mantra do you want? Would you like the Ganesh mantra?" A pure guru will not do any of this funny business with mantras. He will thoughtfully determine the sentiment of a prospective disciple. And if the person has a genuine desire for Krishna bhakti, then he will give him the mantra. Otherwise, on some pretext, he will postpone it and send the person away. Especially if a Madhyam Adhikari guru is a little weak, he will keep the prospective disciple in his company for some time. First become convinced about his purity of purpose and then give him the mantra. The Madhyam Adhikari Vaishnava mostly acts as guru, not the Uttam Adhikari. An Uttam Adhikari Vaishnava must come down a little to the Madhyam Adhikari stage in order to act as guru. But the Uttam Adhikari generally does not initiate disciples. Narad became the guru of many persons, but he never actually performed the rituals of a formal initiation ceremony. He would simply inspire the flow of bhakti in someone's heart, give some instruction, and nothing more. Once there was a man named Kabira who wanted to take initiation from a Ramanuja Vaishnava named Ramananda Acharya. Whenever he would come asking for initiation, Ramananda would send him away. Ramananda considered this Kabira to be a first-class Mayavadi, a Nirvisheshvadi, and therefore thought that he shouldn't be given initiation. So one night, when it was extremely dark and Ramananda was going to bathe, Kabira, knowing that he was coming, lay down on the path in front of him. Because of the darkness, Ramananda did not see Kabira lying there and tripped over him. Thinking that he had offended someone by touching them with his feet, he said, "Say Ram, say Ram." Then standing up and clasping Ramananda's feet, Kabira said, "This is my initiation. Guruji, now you are my guru. Ram, Ram, Ram. You can get initiated by this kind of trickery also, but we cannot obtain devotion in this way." Kabira simply remained a first-class Mayavadi. Gop Kumar was saying such things that it inspired full faith in the Brahmana. The Brahmana said, "I have come from afar, and in my heart there is a strong desire to know one thing. What is sadhya, the final goal, and sadhan, the method to attain it? If this question is not within a sadhak or disciple, then he will never reach the desired goal." When Mahaprabhu was in East Bengal, Tapana Mishra asked him, "What is your sadhya and sadhan?" By asking this question, a disciple will please his guru very much, and the guru will reply, "Oh, what a beautiful question you have asked." A disciple will be thinking, "Until now I have been unable to ascertain what our sadhya is. Who should we worship, and how should we perform that worship? What is our necessity? To whom will we go, and how will we get Krishna?" Therefore, from the very beginning of our spiritual practice, we must know what is sadhan and what is sadhya. Which path should I take? And by traveling along this path, what will I attain? This knowledge is given only in a real sampradaya. In some sampradayas, we don't even find this. Gop Kumar said to the Brahmin, "My dear friend, there is little time. I will tell you some things regarding this from my own experience. You already possess the mantra, and you have already obtained the darshan of Mahadev and Parvati. It is possible, in some circumstances, that the mantra alone will give you everything. But without remaining in the appropriate Vaishnava association, it is generally not possible to learn the answer to your question. Therefore, in very simple language, I will help you to understand what is sadhya and sadhan. I will tell you in sequence, one stage after the other. If I immediately tell you about Vraja Prem, the Prem of the Gopis, the Prem of Radhika, and if I immediately tell you how Sri Krishna, Nandanandan, Natvara, Shyamasundara, Radhakanta is alone our most worshipable deity, you will not understand. If I tell you first about the intimate pastimes of Sri Radha and Krishna, you will not understand. So I will explain the gradation involved, and according to your specific internal nature, you will catch a particular sentiment. Then Gop Kumara began his own life story. I took birth in the home of a milkman at Govardhan. When I was a little grown up, my parents would send me to take the cows for grazing. Taking the cows out to graze, drinking milk, and playing with my friends, it was the carefree life of a young cowherd boy. My friends and I were fearless. We could even fight without fear of being rebuked. The relationships between people there were real and intimate, and this is how I grew up. One day, I saw a brahmana, and he was very merciful to me. He was always performing kirtan of the name of Bhagavan, and I saw that he was very renounced, never caring for anything of this world. I began to develop some faith in him. My mother would tell me to take him some milk, and I would go and deliver it to him. I told him that whenever he became hungry, he should tell us. While taking the cows out every day, I would go to see him, and slowly I came to love him. Eventually, I loved him with my whole heart and soul, so much so that I forgot the affection of my mother and father and everyone else. I saw him in many different states, sometimes laughing, sometimes running, and sometimes rolling on the banks of the Jamuna, shouting, "Ha Krishna, Ha Krishna!" Witnessing this, great faith for him arose within me. My relationship with the brahmana was very sweet. Like a mother, I would sometimes bring him rotis and other things, but mostly he would just take milk. When I would come and sit before him, he would put his hand on my head, pat me on the back, and show me great affection. As a result of this, slowly I became indifferent to the things of this world, and I desired to receive initiation from him. Then one day, I insisted that he initiate me. He told me to first go and bathe in the Jamuna. I did so, and upon returning, he spoke the mantra into my ear, the same mantra that Parvati Devi has given you. Then my Gurudev began to tell me the rules and regulations for chanting. He said, "Who is the deity of this mantra? And by chanting it, what kind of sentiment will come in your heart? Listen, with the flute in his hands and a peacock feather on his head, the incomparably marvelous Shyamasundara." Then, at that moment, he became overwhelmed with bhava and fell to the ground unconscious. Without having said a word about the rules and regulations, or sadhya and sadhan, he had only told me the mantra. He didn't tell me its meaning, or how many times to chant it, or even how to sit while chanting. There was foam coming from his mouth, his limbs were shivering, and the hairs of his body stood erect. I ran to the Yamuna for water to revive him, but when I returned, he was no longer there. I searched through all the kunjas of the entire area of Vrindavan. Searching and searching, I became exhausted, and not finding him anywhere, I became very upset. When I received initiation from my guru, Srila Bhakti Pragyan Keshav Maharaj, I also asked him, Please tell me a little of the meaning of the Gopal Mantra and Kam Gayatri. He replied, Sri Radha and Krishna are the Gopal Mantra and Kam Gayatri. By chanting them, Radha and Krishna will eventually reveal themselves to you. There is no necessity of knowing the full meaning now. When the appropriate time comes, the mantras will flow in your heart and reveal everything to you. I have always followed his instruction in this regard, and there has never been any necessity for me to ask anyone else. Thus ends chapter 1 of Going Beyond Vaikuntha.